Once again, good morning. As we sit together, pray together, sing together, eat together, our hearts are becoming more entwined with yours. And we bless the Lord this morning for feeding us so richly this morning again through our brethren. We bless the Lord. And as we get ready to go into this session, again, I just open myself for correction publicly, privately, if anything is shared that is off balance or not according to your understanding. As we get ready to go into this session, I'm thinking of how Jesus met with the disciples at a time when they were troubled. And you know, there was one among them that just couldn't grasp the thought that, like what Brother Aaron brought out to us this morning, that Jesus actually rose from the grave. Though there were other disciples that told him, you know, he just couldn't believe this was reality. And you know what? Jesus met with the disciples and he ministered to Thomas. Bless the Lord. This morning, I believe, and according to like a scripture we have in the book of Isaiah, and some other things make me think that we know Jesus did carry, and I believe he still carries in his body the marks that came as a result of redeeming our lives from destruction. And we're just blessed that Jesus used those scars in his hands and his feet to minister to Thomas along with the other disciples. And that's so much what this message is about. And we want to read a portion of scripture that's so meaningful from the Word of God. It grabs our hearts. This morning as we read it, we want to think about allowing the Lord to help us in our own lives as we think of making peace and keeping peace and being peace promoters in the name of the Lord, that the Lord would help us to turn our own wounds into scars, and those scars into stars, like Jesus did. Yes, Jesus had a deep wound when he hung on the cross, and nails were driven through his hands and his feet, wounds that bled. But those wounds healed and became scars, and from there they turned into stars when they were used to minister to doubting Thomas and others as well. And can we this morning just imagine the moment of being in glory with Jesus and Jesus saying, "Behold my hands and my feet." It's just amazing to consider, something like that. We can turn our Bibles this morning to that beautiful, beautiful book of Romans that we've been taught from. Would really like to read from chapter 12, verses 10 through 21 this morning as we consider this subject. Romans 12, 10 through 21. Here God tells us, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." We've already been challenged, haven't we? Just look at those words. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I'd like to think of this message as having that title this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those are the children of God. They are peacemakers, and bless them, and they are blessed. They are blessed. As we consider that subject, this morning we're called to be peacemakers. We think of the fact that, as has been said, hurting people hurt people. That is the tendency. And we're called to minister peace. And so to be a peacemaker, there's certain things that have to happen in our own lives. Because it's true, so often we realize hurting people tend to hurt people. We would like to divide this message up in two parts this morning. The first part is from wounds to scars, and then from scars to stars. If suddenly God would just come in here and perform a miracle and put every one of us in the physical condition that we are emotionally and psychologically as it relates to wounds we have received that hopefully have turned into scars or even stars, but only God knows how that is. You know, how would I look here in front of you this morning? And that is a challenging thought, because now all of us get wounds. All of us have wounds. But what matters is what happens with that wound. All of you likely have scars on your body. I carry the biggest scars on my body are on this left arm. And this morning, I can, by the grace of God, use it to in just a pure physical sense to, you know, I could show you the scar that was once a wound, and now I could turn it into a star by telling you, men, be careful when you use a grinder, a big heavy electric grinder with a steel brush on it. And especially be careful if you're trying to use a steel brush on a piece of I-beam up at about head level. Be careful how you use it, because of what can happen. That would be, wouldn't it, turning the wound, it's now a scar, and turning it into a star. And that's what God wants to do with your wound, the spiritual wounds, the emotional, psychological wounds we have. There was that day when I was brushing with a steel brush, and the grinder, you know, just, you go into that beam and it just flipped and went right into my arm and just chewed it up terribly. I just didn't know what to do. So a few points to draw here. You know what? I needed help. I would have had a hard time taking care of this arm myself. And one of the first things for me to realize is I needed help. I needed someone to help me work through this wound that I had and help me know how to take care of this wound. And we need to just be humble enough to say, brother, I'm struggling with this wound. It hurts, and this is what happened to me, and I really need help. Today it would be sad if I'd be standing up here in front of you and this wound from several years ago would still be an open wound, and it would be pussy and just smell bad and just be something terrible, you know, and have a big bandage on it because it's putrefying and it's dead flesh there and it's just not healing. That would be awful. And that's what can happen in our lives emotionally with the wounds that we have. Thankfully, that day, I could go to someone that also, before in her life, had a bad cut and carries on her body today a scar. Someone that knew what it was to be cut, to be hurt, and to be have someone help bring healing to their part of their body, that part of their body. And so I went into the house, and there I found a compassionate, a caring nurse that took in and cleaned. I mean, it was just, it looked awful. It was just all eaten up flesh and with rust all down in my flesh. And it just looked like something terrible. And there was someone that took and cleaned and cleaned and washed gently, persistently to get all the junk out of there. And then to put in healing salve and something to bring balm and to relieve the pain, to bring healing to that wound, bless her heart, and to bandage it. That today I could roll up my sleeve and I could show you the scar, but it's healed. And you know what? Even that part of my skin is tougher than it was before the wound. That's what God wants to do with our wounds. And if you're a minister, a servant of the Lord, to people, you have wounds. You experience wounds and things that are hurtful and hard and difficult. And for us as ministers and servants of the Lord here today, ministering peace to people, seeking peace, we have to get this point of letting the Lord bring healing to our wounds so that we can turn those wounds, that they can heal and be scars, and we can turn them into stars because we can share it with someone and make a difference in their life. I'm thankful that there was someone that carried a scar on her body. And yes, it was Bertha, my beloved wife, that took and you know, just washed and cleansed. And I think in humility as servants, you know, we're called to be, yes, and I appreciate all the teaching. We're called to be leaders and we're to be strong and all those things, but sometimes we just need to humble ourselves and say, brother, I'm just struggling with this wound. And can you, do you have something to help me, you know, with? And what do I do with this? And how do I work through this, brother or sister, or however the case might be? We moved 3 years ago, but where we lived for many years before that, we had 4 big pecan trees. There was a day when 2 of those trees, they're big, like 80-year-old trees, you know, with trunks this big around. And wow, 2 of those big pecan trees, you know, and it can be someone that's older and well-seasoned and has experienced lots of things and a mature Christian leader. We can be wounded. 2 pecan trees were wounded. One with a lightning bolt that caused bark from the tree to fly many feet from the tree and caused a big wound in the tree. The other one, very nearly the same time, there was a strong wind that came along and it broke off one big main limb right off of it. But it was a huge tree. There was still plenty of tree there and plenty of limbs. But one big limb was broke off. Can we make application? And the tree doesn't think anything, of course not. But maybe, and just making an application to how we sometimes do, you know, maybe all that tree could think about from then on was that big limb that was broke off. You know what? God does not want us to be defined by the wounds that we've had, but by who we are and how we've allowed that to refine us to become more of what he wants us to be. And I pray we will not let the wounds we have define who we're going to be the rest of our life. That tree, the tree that had the big limb broke off. You know, there was a big wound there. And it started, you know, sapping and deteriorating. Bugs got into it. Termites went into it. I tried to treat it. I poured in oil into the wound. But you know, the wound was so great. And you know, the tree could have said, you just don't understand this. And this is so hard. And maybe all the tree again could think about was that big broken limb. I mean, I've lived for 80 years. And don't you see, I've produced pecans all these years. And don't you know who I am? And that big limb is broke off. Right about 100 foot from there was a tree that had a lightning bolt that struck it and put a big wound in it, a big scar. But you know what? That tree, today, this is a picture of that tree. It carries a big wound, a scar, that is turned into a star because, let me tell you, this is a tree that is still growing. It's still producing pecans. It has many times, many days in the summertime, it has people under it that are there because of the shade it provides, and vehicles are parked under it because it provides shade and pecans, and it's still bearing fruit. And you know what else it does? Like all many trees do, photosynthesis, but I'm challenged with this. You know what? You can go blow carbon dioxide right into the leaves of that tree and just, you know, like anger, like just you, carbon dioxide coming out of your mouth. You know what it does? It takes that carbon dioxide in and it gives off oxygen. That the very person that blew it can get oxygen from it if they want. What a challenge. I am challenged. Bobby the Bluebird, I think this was in the Anabaptist Voice. Maybe you read this story. I don't maybe need to take the time to read this whole story. But it's about the parable of Bobby the Bluebird. And may this never happen to us. I'll just read parts of it. Bobby Bluebird lived in his own cedar-sided house in front of the Grand Castle. He was a good Mr. Bluebird, beautiful and useful, God's own creation. He stayed true to Ms. Bluebird, determinedly defended his birdhouse from the bullying English sparrows, joyfully cared for his birdie babies, and faithfully protected his territory from every bluebird intruder. Bobby and his mate successfully raised their spring clutch of beautiful babies and different things, and no wicked serpent got into their little nest and all these things. But Bobby faced a vexing battle. He could never chase away one intruder that looked very much like himself. Every time the owner of the estate parked his great chariot in front of the Grand Castle, Bobby Bluebird immediately flew down to attack the invading bluebird that came with the great chariot. He engaged in a fierce battle that raged on and on until the estate owner would take the intruder bluebird away by moving the great chariot. So he would, I won't read all of this, he would go to this vehicle and he would look, there was a mirror there, of course, and he'd look in that mirror and that was the bluebird, you know, and he just fought that bluebird. And he was so taken up with that, with what he saw in that mirror, just like we can become so taken up with wounds that we have. And this went on and on until the morning that Brother Ernest Trubar is the one that wrote this article, and this is what happened. The bluebird would do, you know, trying to fight the intruder at one mirror and went to the other side. He was so distracted with that, according to what Ernest Trubar wrote, you know, little lion, he called him. He was a cat that came around, and Bluebird was so distracted with that, he didn't notice the little lion, the cat. And the cat actually wound up getting the bluebird and killing it. A sad story of what can happen if we are distracted by the wounds that we carry. A true story I just want to share with you this morning as it relates to wounds and healing and scars and stars. There was once a wooden chest, beautiful and new. But with time, it became old, broken, and ugly. Finally, after being considered almost worthless, it was stored in an attic where it would slowly rot away. There it sat in a corner for many years. It became very dirty and unsightly. And finally, after many years, the owner died. The day then came for the children and grandchildren to go through the belongings. In the far corner of the attic sat the old, worn, and ugly chest. The handle was broken. The inside was warped. The metal parts were very rusty. Most of the group said, "Throw it away. It's worthless to me." But there was one special someone that took a second look. She saw beneath the dirt and grime something that could be restored to beauty and usefulness. She said, "I would like to have it." And from the group, wonder was expressed that anyone would want the old chest. This special someone then took the chest. She saw beyond the fault to the need. She worked for hours cleaning, scrubbing, sanding, and bending. And finally, the day came when the old chest was varnished, painted, and restored to its potential beauty. Today, it is a very useful chest. You may find within it many useful valuables, all because someone was willing to pay the price of binding up that which was broken. May God be praised for this example of spiritual restoration that in so many ways resembles what Jesus has done for us. And even so, with the wounds that you have, that's what we want to allow the Lord to do for us and with us, so that we will not hurt people because of hurts that we are carrying. We want to find healing. Jesus bore wounds. We all will have wounds. Jesus, there was a day when his arms and his feet bled, but they turned into scars and then into stars. So may God help us to turn our wounds into scars and our scars into stars that will be used to minister to people. Number two this morning, as we think of blessed are the peacemakers, we'd like to have the second part of this message be to think about having then a shepherd heart. And we think of Jesus being the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. We think of John 10. This morning, as I, bring this staff, as we look at this simple staff, it's a staff made of wood. It's not anything. Well, to me, yes, it carries a message, a meaning. But who do we think of when we see the staff this morning? We think of the good shepherd, don't we? I'm confident that's who you think about. That's who I think about. We think about Jesus, the good shepherd. Isn't it just a beautiful, peaceful thought to think of Jesus being the good shepherd? And of course, the rebellious and headstrong, wicked, there is judgment, there is wrath. But for the sheep, there is peace. We think of Psalm 23 this morning, that beautiful psalm where it speaks about the shepherd, leading us beside still waters in green pastures. Blessed are the peacemakers. What do the people God has called you to serve, do they see you as a person worthy of carrying in the name of the Lord, as a servant of the Lord, a staff, as it were? And that is what these little other little staffs here are for this morning. These are little staffs with several verses on them that have been such a challenge to me in my life. In fact, as a call to be a servant to the Lord leader, call to be a husband or father, call to have a responsibility with people, I would say they've been some of the most challenging to me. So I invite you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Because as we think this morning of being a shepherd and shepherds, of course our mind, first of all, goes to the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also goes to the Old Testament shepherd, David. And I'd like to read this morning these verses in 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 to 4. We're blessed with the Psalms. We're blessed with so many writings of David. But here the Bible tells us that these are his last words, the last words he spoke. And so they were like bringing the close of his life, and these were the things that he said. It says in verse 1 and following, "Now these be the last words of David, David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. Now, how many times does he just emphasize the fact that this is the Spirit of the Lord speaking? This is God speaking. God speaking through David. Over and over he brings it out. And then what does he say? He says, he that ruleth over men, he that has a responsibility with people, we could say this morning, this person must be just. This person must ruling in the fear of God. Just and ruling in the fear of God. And then look at verse 4 is where we find such a challenge this morning. It says, of this person, he shall be as the light of the morning. When the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And we say, wow, what a calling, what a responsibility that God places on us as we're called to be, as we heard in the session this morning, leaders for his people, unto the Lord for his people. We are called to be like the light of a morning when the sun comes up and there's not a cloud in the sky. A beautiful cloudless morning. Wow. To be like grass springing up out of the earth by clear shining after a rain. Not some old bramble bushes that are 20 years old and have stingers on them. Like tender grass. Something that's alive, it's green, it's growing. It's something that gives life. Something that produces. Something that can be used. In a morning without a cloud in the sky. I find those words very, very challenging. We're not perfect. We will... Did one of you give teaching on that? Or did I listen to that just recently? I think it was a message I was listening to on the way up here. And I think the thought was maybe we shouldn't say we're not perfect. But you understand my point. When Paul said, I have not attained... I reach forth. That's where we all are. But for those we serve, we need to allow the Lord to minister to us to where we are like a morning when the sun comes up and not a cloud in the sky. I would just share something with you as men here this morning that I have done, and you can make your own choice of whether you would want to do it or not. But I have asked Bertha to just share it with me when it's a little cloudy. And when some things happen that, you know, it's just kind of cloudy because of, you know, whatever that I'm dealing with or working with, and we all have things to work with, but you know, when it's getting us down or our person, we're becoming like cloudy in our life. And it has helped me many times. And I would just say for me, when the pressure is on, these verses have been some of the most challenging to me in all the Bible to remember, you know, to be like a morning without clouds, to be like grass springing out of the earth by tender shining after a rain. And I would like to share this morning, you know, just a little further. You think of Jesus. We think of Jesus and the staff. And do the people we're called to serve see us as worthy of taking a staff and hanging it in our office? And is this the atmosphere we give to the people we're called to serve? Like a shepherd with a staff. You know, a staff, as I think of a staff in all its many uses, the first thing I want to think of this morning is how the Lord Jesus reached down over the cliff and to me, where I was, when I was lost and in sin, and had I been killed that night when I was driving a pickup truck with many of the lugs actually broke off of the wheel. You know, and where I would have gone, and if I would have went into eternity, and while I was there, the Lord Jesus reached down over the mountain, as it were, and he picked me up. So that's the first thing I like to think of. This staff I have in my office, it hangs in my office, I think of him picking me up. And you know, in Isaiah 40, 41, it talks about the Lord carrying the young. He carries us. This staff can be used to point the way. You know, this is the way, walk ye in it. A leader with a shepherd heart. It can be used to apply discipline, of course. Discipline, speaking the truth in love. And you know, one thing we have to come to realize in our church settings, we're called of the Lord to serve the Lord for people that are not 3 and 4 and 6 years old. They're adults. And yet, sometimes even adults, you know, the application of discipline needs to be applied. The staff is also indeed a symbol of peace. You know, being a peace promoter. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. There's something else about this staff. I just want to point out this one. These are not made that way, but this one is. If you look at this staff, it's made by special craftsmen, and you see the grains of this wood. It goes all the way around on this staff. This staff was not just cut out of a big piece of wood, but this staff was made with steam and pressure. We're going to say this staff was wounded. You know, at one point, this was just a bare piece of wood with bark on it, and all that bark was peeled off. Wow, what a wound. And this piece of wood was taken and it was bent one way and then bent the other way and down and over. And with steam and pressure, this only happened with steam and pressure. Just like the Lord is using all those difficult things you're facing in your life, those wounds. He will heal you and touch you and make you to become more what he wants you to be and more worthy to really carry a staff, as it were, and to be an under shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we have, I think, about 30 of these along. And it is for any of you as men here this morning that would like to carry one home with you. It has that scripture on it that we just read, 2 Samuel 23, 1-4, what God's call is for us as leaders in our responsibilities to be like this, to be just, to rule in the fear of God, to be like a morning without clouds, to be a person that those we're called to serve would think we are, you know, that we are under the Lord, we're worthy to have this, you know, in our hands, worthy of carrying a staff, worthy of hanging it in our office and remembering God's call on our life, the charge, and what he has called us to do and how to serve to the praise of his glory. So they're there. If any of you want to be that kind of a person and you would like to take it home, just as a reminder of this scripture, and for you to have a shepherd heart, as an under-shepherd under the Lord, you're most welcome to take one of those. God's blessings to all of you, fellow ministers and servants. And, you know, I can't help but just, I mean, I know most of this is for you men and fellow ministers. You wives, you have no idea what an influence you are to your husband. Can I quickly tell you a story? Then it brings out a point. It is said that George Bush Sr. and his wife Barbara were once traveling many years ago. They pulled into a gas station back in the days when attendants would come out and fill up the vehicle with gas. And an attendant came out of the gas station to fill up their car. And Barbara looked at the man and said, "George, I used to date that man." And George said, "It's good you didn't marry him, or you'd just be a gas station attendant's wife. You know, it's good you didn't marry him. You'd just be a gas station attendant's wife." And Barbara said, "No, if I'd have married him, he would be president of the United States." The power of influence is amazing. God bless all of you wives.